Irreverent, entertaining, cool. You're listening to LA Talk Radio.
You're listening to On Air with Russell of Hotels, only on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to On Air with Russell Hotels, where we talk about everything hospitality, from hotels to influencers and everything in between. We will feature guest interviews with hospitality professionals who will share their experiences. Your host, Russell Edmond, has spent over 25 years in the hospitality industry, beginning his career with Marriott International in hotel operations, before moving into the sales arena and becoming a relationship building director of sales and marketing. Russell then went to the other side as a hospitality entrepreneur. He now consults in the hotel and meeting space, which includes being the CEO of Russell of Hotels Group. Did I mention he was a veggie foodie? Yes, Russell is always looking for good non-meat eats. Please welcome your host, Russell Edmond.
Hello, and thank you for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels live radio show. Why is it live, you say? Because it's just not a podcast. It's a live show that becomes a podcast. I know I say that every week, and some people, they let me know that I say this every week, right? Because they repeat what I say, but that's okay. That means they're getting used to me being on air. But anyway, we're at latalkradio.com. We're Zoom, we're Facebook Live. So we're live right now. It's 1:03 on Tuesday, December 29th. We're at show number 88. Can you believe show number 88? Man, I don't even remember show number 1 and 2, but we're now on 88. So I do appreciate everyone that listens to or watches the show. I do appreciate that. And I appreciate everybody that has helped out the show, that supported the show. I appreciate, you know, LA Talk Radio, Sam and Ronan for what they do. Ronan especially for, you know, putting up with, you know, me being late sometimes and, you know, going over the time or things like that. But I do appreciate everything that he's done. He's our producer. He puts it together and I just show up, right? All I have to do is just show up and you see me and I start talking, right? But everything behind the scenes, Ronan does that. So if you're ever looking for, right, looking to do a live radio show, /Zoom/Facebook Live, LA Talk Radio would be a good place to start, to call home. Okay, so I do appreciate everyone there. Like I said, show number 88. Merry belated Christmas, can I say that? You know, I think I said it last week, but, you know, hope everything went well with the holidays or is going well with the holidays. And, you know, Santa was good to you and all that kind of stuff. I mean, I got me a new watch for Christmas, got some shoes, got some sweatshirts, you know, that kind of stuff. So someone's texting me and I'm like, why is you texting? Why are you texting me? Who does that? You know, when people know I'm on the show, why are they texting me? Like, you know, I didn't respond to something. Well, you know, I'm not going to respond at 1:05 when I'm on the show on Tuesday. But anyway, so industry news, you know, real quick industry news so I can focus, so I don't, get sidetracked by this texting that, you know, that I'm getting. But real quick industry news. I don't have a lot of industry news. We know that, you know, here in Southern California, you know, we have the, you know, the COVID restrictions and traveling. Leisure travel has been put on halt for a while. Only essential travel is acceptable, I guess, but, you know, hotels are still open. Some hotels are still operating. And Hyatt House, USC Medical Center, is one of those that's open. I'm sure they get a lot of essential workers over there, so they're okay, right? But just in case you're an essential worker or not, it may be later after they lift the COVID ban and you want to go check out the new Hyatt House USC Medical Center at 2200 East Trojan Way in Los Angeles. You know what? You know why it's so special, the hotel? Because they offer that Russell of Hotels rate. Okay. So ask for Natalie, who is the director of sales and marketing over there, and ask for that Russell of Hotels rate. It's lower than any rate that you can get. Lower than AAA, lower than AARP, lower than BAR, which BAR stands for best available rate, just for people that did not know that. But ask for that ROH or that Russell of Hotels rate, and you'll get a good deal. And just say, hey, I listened to the Russell of Hotels show, and he said to just, you know, reach out and I'll get a good rate. And you will. So just ask for Natalie Finzi. She's the only Natalie there, but, you know, just in case you wanted her whole name, Natalie Finzi, just go ahead and give her a shout and she'll give you that rate. I don't even know what it is, but it's better than BAR, right? So best available rate, that's the lowest you can get, that's probably the best you can get. Anything lower than that is a bonus. So that's where my rate lies. In the world of LinkedIn, I mention this every single week because I think it's important. I think it's important that we talk about LinkedIn and what your SSI number is. In fact, every week that I mention this, someone new that I didn't even know listened to the show will text me, chime in or whatever and say, hey, I did my SSI number. So somebody's listening, right? So that's the thing. And these people aren't in hospitality. They're business people. They can be in any industry, finance, whatever. It doesn't matter. But they're listening to what I'm saying, right? So it's resonating. So I got a text last night or two nights ago from a friend of mine. His name is Brian Decoux. And he says, hey, I listened to your show and I actually rewound it because you're talking about the SSI score. And he gave me his score, which we got to work on. Okay, I'm not going to mention what his score was, but we got to work on it, right? But it's, like I said, it's one of those things that people are, you know, they want to know how to get more noticed or get established on LinkedIn. So you got, like I said, you start with your profile page and you go from there. But in the world of LinkedIn, I said, what is your SSI number? SSI stands for Social Selling Index. It measures the impact of your social selling efforts with LinkedIn and how effective you are at establishing your professional brand. My score, I always mention this, is 70 out of 100, okay? You know, some of the people, their numbers are significantly lower than 70, but that's okay. That's a starting point. You know, 70 for me is a starting point. My number should be high because I am, you know, pretty active. At least I thought I was active until I started getting these numbers. But some people are not as active as I am. So their score should be lower, right? So, and that's okay. So what I do, is make sure, you know, I'm trying to do better, right? So if you know better, you can do better, right? So within that 70, I'm in top 1% of the industry. So whatever industry that I've said I'm in, if that's the hospitality industry, I'm in the top 1% of that, right? And then I'm in the top 4 of my network, okay? So if I have a network of 26,000 people, I'm in the top 4% of that. So that's not bad, right? And it's based on 4 categories. Establishing your professional brand, which I got a 21 out of 25. Finding the right people, which I got a 14.3. You need to do more than like comments. You need to make, you know, you need to make comments. You need to interact, you know, get involved in whatever the topic is. And then that helps your score out. But my Engage with Insights is only 11 out of 25. And I thought I was doing pretty good with that. But obviously, I need to do more. That's an F. Okay. Build relationships. Now, we all know I'm about building relationships, right? Collaboration connecting and collaboration and building relationships. That's what I do. So, of course, I'm going to get 25 out of 25 on that, right? So that's what I got on that. So just look at that. Go just, if you want to see what your number is, just Google SSI and just Google that, and it'll have a, not a drop down, but a link where you can click on and it will let you know what your score is. Make sure you have a profile. Okay. You have to have a profile on LinkedIn, because, you know, that actually scores against you. If you don't have a profile picture, and never, and that's going to lead to my next thing, never connect with anyone that does not have a LinkedIn profile, a picture, or at least a logo, right? Never link. I don't know what they're trying to do, but it's not for you. Just move on. Just say delete or ignore and keep it moving. So that's my advice for today. Okay. So I mentioned a little while ago, we're about connecting and collaboration. That's what Russell of Hotels is about. That's what the show was founded on, putting people together. If that's, you know, people that need hotels, they need to know where to go or where to stay or the different types of hotels. People call me and they're like, hey, what's the difference between this and that? A courtyard and a full service Marriott. Well, one's select service, one's full service. One has room service, one doesn't, right? And they may have some amenities that overlap, but that's basically, you know, full service versus non-service, or full service versus select service, meaning, man, my computer, I'm having some darn technical difficulties today. I don't understand why, but anyway, it's on me. It's no one else. It's on me. Is your hotel open? I mention this every week too, creating some FOMO. What's FOMO? Fear of missing out. So is your hotel open? Did you go back to work? I mean, I know, you know, in LA specifically, there's a lot of stuff going on with, and I mentioned this a little while ago, that leisure travel has been put at a halt. You can't leisure travel here in LA County. But this is for places, because, you know, not just people in LA listen to the show. Thank goodness for that. So, but if you're back to work, if it doesn't matter where you are, if you're back to work or your hotel just reopened, or you got a brand new hotel like Natalie at the Hyatt House in LA by AUSC, create some FOMO. Let people know that you're open. FOMO is created through social media. Pictures of your hotel, pictures of guests coming in, pictures of you working, pictures of whatever you're doing, things in the community, things in the area. What are you doing? Those are ways we create some FOMO, fear of missing out. And the best way to do it is on social media. The cheapest way to do it is on social media. So let's make sure we are doing that. And especially now, because social media usage is up nearly 7 minutes over it was this time last year, 2019. It was 7 minutes. People weren't spending, you know, they're 7 minutes less. Now 7 minutes more. So if I'm the marketing person, what am I going to do? And it doesn't have to be hospitality stuff. If I'm the marketing person, I'm going to make sure I'm putting stuff out all the time, daily, okay? If not several times a day, because I want people to see it. I want people to engage and maybe buy my product or my service or whatever the heck it has to be. Non-meat eats. You guys know that I'm a non-meat eat person, meaning I'm a plant-based eater. I don't eat meat. Don't eat cheese. Don't eat dairy. I've been baking a lot, right? Two days ago, as if I didn't have my fill of dessert over, you know, Christmas and a couple of days after, and so here we are. I had to bake and I'm into this peach blueberry cobbler, you know, before just traditional peach cobbler. But one day or one time I was baking and I threw a couple of blueberries in it. The blueberries, they plump and they explode and the juices get all over they mix with the peaches and the crust and all that. And next thing you know, you have this taste that's just beyond crazy, right? So I'm into this now, peach blueberry cobbler, right? So that's what I made for myself. Well, whoever else wants to eat it, but I eat the majority of it. 99% of it will be consumed by me because no one else eats it. And maybe that's why I make it. So just make sure, I mean, just saying, I make it with vegan butter, right? So it's not, there's no dairy in it at all. So I substitute the regular butter with vegan butter. And it still has the brown sugar, vanilla. What else do I put in there? Cinnamon, a lot of cinnamon in there as well. So all those ingredients, because those are all vegan, right? Vegan is non-animal based, right? So anything that doesn't have any animal fat, animal like milk or, you know, cheeses made with dairy, anything that's not eggs, any of that stuff, even the crust. I mean, make sure you look at your crust, because there's crust that's made with lard, okay? But there's also crust that's just made with water, sugar, and flour, okay? That's the crust that I get. I don't get the one that has milk in it or lard, like I said. You don't do that. So anyway, so non-meat eats. And on Christmas, we had my daughter made for the people to eat seafood, which I don't, because that's an animal product, right? She made a seafood boil, but she did a separate thing for me, a plant-based boil, right? So I was able to put, you know, vegetables, potatoes, corn, you know, like a whole corn, but it's sliced, it's cut up, you know, the ears like this big, so she cut it up into quarters or whatever. So, and then it just takes on the flavor of the boil, whatever that is. And it's a lot of seasoning, a lot of Cajun seasonings, it's spicy. Oh my God, it was so good. I ate that for like 2 days because it was just so much, right? So that was good. So that's what we did for Christmas. We do non-traditional kind of stuff for Christmas, which is good. It keeps things going. I don't like doing, you know, of course, if you're a vegan, or not a plant-based, you can't eat the traditional stuff anyway, because what am I going to do? Make a turkey? I mean, although there's some, you know, turkey, tofurkey products and stuff out there that are like that, which I've eaten before, but it's better when you do something different. Be creative when you eat. That's one thing about being plant-based. You have to be creative, right? You have to be. But there's a lot of recipes out there. I get mine on like Pinterest or whatever. I get them emailed to you, you know, I get emails probably once a day about different different recipes that vegans or plant-based can eat. So that's what I do. Or I go to a restaurant or whatever that's vegan. And they're still delivering, right? There's a couple of vegan restaurants in the area that deliver. So I do that as well. Are you swerving? Are you reinventing yourself? That's what I do. I don't do the P word. The P word is pivot for people that are still using it. Oh, we're going to pivot here. No. Russell of Hotels, he swerves. Okay, just remember that. And if you wanted another word to use besides pivot or swerve, rotate, turn, revolve, spin, swivel, twirling, or my favorite, oscillating. You can, I'm going to oscillate today. You know, I'm not going to do that. I'm going to oscillate. So, but anyway, the best way to predict the future is to invent it. Words to live by. Contact information. If you ever want to get a hold of Russell of Hotels, or just Russell Edmond, that's who I am. There's no excuse for people not being able to find me. People always say, hey, I was just trying to find you. What do you mean trying to find me? What do you mean? You call me? Well, I don't have your number. I mean, did you, I hear you do this radio show. Well, obviously you're not paying attention, because I'm giving you all my contact information every week. Okay. So, but anyway, people will, I'm not going to say what they do, but they pee on your head and say it's raining. Okay. So if you know me, you know, my information is out there. You can Google Russell Edmond, Russell of Hotels, and everything will come up, my website, everything. But anyway, Russell@RussellOfHotels.com. That is my email address. Twitter, I'm at Russell of Hotels. You know, I've been lagging on posting lately. I think it's just the holidays and, you know, just kind of not posting a lot over the holidays. But that's going to change. It's coming up. Twitter, Russell of Hotels. IG, Russell of Hotels. LinkedIn, Russell L. Edmond. And I have two LinkedIn pages. I keep forgetting that. So I have the Russell of Hotels page and the Russell L. Edmond page. So the company page, which is Russell of Hotels, and then the personal page, which is Russell L. Edmond. So two LinkedIn pages, two Facebook pages, Russell L. Edmond and Russell of Hotels. YouTube channel. I always forget to say this too. I have a YouTube channel. So please subscribe. And thank you for the people that have subscribed from when I mentioned it last week to this week, because I got like two new subscribers. So, hey, I'm happy. I'm up to 10 now. Hey, you got to start off somewhere, right? So YouTube channel is Russell of Hotels. And then my website is RussellOfHotels.com. I had to take a drink of water. I'm a little parched already. It's only 1:21 and I'm taking a drink of water already. Man, what's going on? The show will be, like I mentioned, it's a live show, right? It becomes a podcast after the show's over, and that's available wherever you listen to your favorite podcast. Just check out or look at On Air with Russell of Hotels. That's all you got to type in Google and boom, something will pop up. And if you just want to check it out, just go to russellofhotels.com, my website, and it's on there. So just go to, I think it says Russell of Hotels, On Air with Russell of Hotels. Just click on that on my website, boop, and it'll take you right to my last video. Okay? So like I said, there's no reason you can't get a hold of me if you choose to do that, if you're looking for me. Sponsorship opportunities. If you're interested in that, of course, your backdrop could be like the beautiful skyline of Vancouver, BC. I mean, just imagine your backdrop and back of me, right? Going out to the world. You know, why do I have Vancouver, British Columbia? Because a lot of people in Vancouver listen to the show or watch the show. Boom, there you go. What is the Russell of Hotels Group? Branding, digital marketing via social media. Everything is done via social media, right? If you're not doing social media, you're missing out. Get on board. Help build your presence through videos, postings, etc. And just remember, like, say if I'm doing a hotel, right? If I'm doing some marketing or digital marketing for a hotel, it's not just the hotel that you're showing, right? Or people in the hotel, people working at the hotel, people that are, your customers or your clients of the hotel. But it's about what's going on in the area. What's going on within the area of the hotel? Are there restaurants? Are there things to do? I mean, when we get back to that, where we're able to, you know, go out and enjoy some of the things that are near our hotels. I mean, it's all about the area, you know. So make sure you try to attach yourself to, you know, things around the area or causes within the area, positive causes. Okay, never be involved with anything negative, anything crazy. So you know, just make sure. That's what I try to do, and that's my advice to people. Collaboration and connecting of people. How is your professional brand or personal brand staying relevant? What do you do to stay relevant? I have a radio show. So every week I do a radio show and then I post these things, right? So at least once a week I'm posting something. Every week, once a week, I'm posting something. Okay. So how is your brand staying relevant? So ask yourself that. If that's your, you know, the company that you work for, if that's your hotel, whatever it is, how are you staying relevant? Because that is important. Muy importante that, you know, you stay relevant. Okay. Number two, knowing what you know now, is there anything that you would do differently? So knowing this whole COVID situation is here, slapping us in the face, keeps hitting us. What would you do differently? If you knew it was coming, what would you do differently? Three, have you connected with anyone new lately? Have we gone after new, you know, people you haven't talked to in a while? And it's not just necessarily business related. It can be, you know, people you just haven't talked to. You just people, friends or family that you haven't, you know, communicated with in a while. It's a good time to reach out and communicate. One thing I started a couple years ago is that if I think about someone one time that I haven't talked to in a while, I'll reach out. If I have the number, I'll reach out and contact them. So that's a new thing, right? So anytime I think about someone, I say, you know what? I haven't talked to that person in a while. Let me just reach out and talk to them. You know, if they don't answer, whatever, I at least leave a message. If it's I only have email, then that's the only thing I do. If I only have email, then that's what I use, right? But, you know, just reach out to people because you never know what people are going through, right? They may need that call from that person maybe they haven't talked to in a while. You just never know, right? So that's what I do. So if I think about you one time, I'm gonna pick up the phone and call you. Providing I have your information, your contact information. What has this situation taught you? Meaning this COVID thing. What has it taught you moving forward? You know, to better educate yourself. Don't put all your eggs in one basket. I don't know. I mean, these questions are for you, not for me. You know, I can come up with the answers, but they will be for me. So these are questions for you to think about, to ponder, and like, what would I do in this situation? What has this situation taught me? Or how is my professional brand staying relevant? Or is there anything I would do differently? Or have I connected with anyone new lately? Those are questions you can ask. Hotels, are you selling differently? Are you selling differently? You know, I talk kind of fast, so sometimes I don't think I'm enunciating my words like I should be. Hotels, are you selling differently? Are you making, are you marketing more or less? Are you keeping your brand in front of your competition? Are we waiting for things to happen, or do we make things happen? Do we wait for the phone to ring, or do we make the phone ring? Huge difference. Are we proactive, or are we reactive? Those are questions we need to ask ourselves, not just as individual brand, but as your, you know, the brand that you represent. Because remember, it's two different brands here. You're the brand who may work for another brand. Okay, so I'm Russell Edmond. I'm the brand Russell Edmond, but I represent Russell of Hotels. That's the company, right? So like when I worked my last hotel, whatever, I was Russell Edmond, the brand, but I was, you know, I worked for a bigger brand, which was the Sheraton Universal. You know what I mean? So it's two things that you have through or to people, whatever. So just remember that. On blast for next week. Well, you know, I've been doing for the last 2 weeks with last week and this week, I'm sharing some experiences, some hotel stories, or, you know, things from guests or celebrities or whatever. So today's no different. I mean, there's some things that have happened in my career that I just want to talk about. You know, I got like 30 to 40 of these things that I kind of said, huh, you know, there's just like two word things like, you know, 24 laptops. You know, that's one of the ones I want to talk about today. It was 24 laptops. You know, it was a situation where 24 laptops got stolen under my watch. I mean, what the heck, right? Woo, that was a doozy. I'm still stressed out about that one. It's been 15 years. I'm still, you know, waking up in a cold sweat. You know, 24 laptops, what happened? Anyway, oh boy, it was a good one. But I'm going to share that with you. I'm going to share that one in a couple minutes. Thank you and shout outs. You know what? I just heard this earlier, and I was like, that's pretty scary. But a quick shout out to Miss Kat Von B, aka the Traveling Greek. Now she's a friend of the show. She supports our show. She's actually in Croatia now. So guess what? We have a new group of people that listen in Croatia. So believe me, that's going to be, you know, when I say who listens to the show or who watches the show, people in Croatia watch and listen to On Air with Russell of Hotels, believe it or not. Anyway, so the Traveling Greek, like I said, Miss Kat Von B, dear friend of myself and of the show. She's in Croatia, and she went through, there was a major earthquake there. I guess it was last night or earlier tonight. So it's just like 9-10 o'clock there, p.m. now, right? So this was earlier in the day. It was 6.4. So just imagine a 6.4 earthquake going here in L.A. That's huge, right? And she said out of one, if on a scale of 1 to 10, it was like a 9. Okay, like, you know, I mean, 10 would have been like total devastation, I guess. 9 was on the edge, right? So I couldn't even imagine, you know, going through something that severe. And remember, in Croatia or other countries, they don't have the same, you know, earthquake rules and regulations to, you know, put a building up and things like that. It has to be, you know, so far under the ground, or, and, you know, it sways back and forth. Those buildings are not like the ones here in the United States, or the ones where in earthquake territory like California, right? So just remember that, you know, you're like, oh, 6.4, oh, that's not a big deal. Well, yeah, no, it's a big deal when you don't have the restrictions that they have there. So just imagine that, buildings crumbling, streets are cracking, because there's no reinforcement like they have here in our construction. So shout out to her, and, you know, stay safe. I already sent her a couple of messages. Stay safe, Kat, and let's talk soon. But yeah, just a quick shout out to her. So, and prayers to the people in Croatia, because I know several people have lost their lives. So we're, you know, we're thinking about them as well. Miss Marilyn Bright, CEO of Smart Meetings, a quick shout out to her. She wrote a, you know, she sends out mailings every now and then So I read one. I didn't read the whole thing, or I'm not going to read the whole thing in its entirety. I just took a paragraph out and I'm going to share that with you. But it basically, the title was Goodbye 2020, Hello 2021. And it had to do with, you know, a time to reinvent ourselves. Didn't I just say that? I just talked about that, right? So the theme is reinventing yourself. Or swerving. Are you swerving? And she mentioned things like that as well. But I'll just read just one little insert, one paragraph that she put in there. It said, our pledge, meaning her pledge, as well as Smart Meetings, our pledge in the next 12 months, we will empower meeting professionals to plan meaningful attendee experiences and master the return of meetings. In fact, that is our new mission statement. We are obsessed with finding the most creative, efficient, and kick-ass approaches to getting business done. Okay, so, you know, this is a setback. You know, this whole COVID thing, the meetings and hotel industry. Yeah, we've been devastated, right? But it's, you got to look at it as a setback, and we can come back bigger and stronger, right? So that's basically what she's saying from that one paragraph. That's what I got from it. There's a whole, like I said, she wrote a whole article, but I only took out the paragraph, and that's, you know, that's what I got from it, is that, yeah, it's another challenge. I mean, in hotels, we're always dealt with challenges, right? In the meetings, you're always, if you're a meeting planner, you're always dealing with challenges. And how you deal with those challenges, right? You hit them head on and you make things a lot better. So you turn it around and make it a even better experience for, you know, or for your guests, for your clients, for the meeting attendees, whatever it is. But we have to make sure that, you know, we find a way to be more creative and efficient. And she mentioned kick-ass approach. I mean, kick booty, right? Kick donkey, take names and numbers if you have to, right? So I always like Marin Bright. I mean, she's the CEO of Smart Meetings and she knows what she's doing, right? She's kicking ass and taking names, okay? So I can't say that again. So that's it. So thank you. Thank you, Marin, for sharing that. Now, my guest experiences, right? So this, we'll just call this Guest Experiences Volume 2, okay? It's 133. Man, I needed that drink of water. So the first one, I think I had like 3, 4. I'm going to go through. I'll try to get through them, depending on how winded I get or how much elaboration I'm doing. So you ever got hate email before? Hate email, hate phone calls. Now, you know, it may be something, it may not, what I'm saying, it may not be what you're thinking, right? So just listen. So I remember being a GM at the Sportsman's Lodge Hotel some years ago, right? So I was there from 2010 to 2013, 14, something like that. And one thing that hotel had going for it, now this was pre-renovation, right? But one thing that hotel had going for it, that it had a huge pool. I mean, almost Olympic size. I want to say it was 3 meters short of an Olympic size pool in length. Right. So it was the biggest pool in L.A. It had to be one of the largest pools in L.A. County. OK, I know in L.A. City it was, but I'm going to say it was probably the largest pool in L.A. County as well. So we had a lot of people coming to the pool. Right. So I was the director of sales at first. And then we had a general manager whose name's Steph. We'll just call him Steph. OK, Stefan. So Stefan and I, we said we need to come up with a way to make money, you know, for the pool, because we have all these people coming in, because we didn't understand why all these people were coming to the pool. We thought they're all guests, right? We'll find out that they were neighborhood people, the people that lived in, this is a Studio City, California, right, in, you know, in the valley section of L.A. All these people, I mean, 100 people a day coming to the pool and just laying out and enjoying the pool, enjoying the sun, because it gets hot as heck out in the valley. So we thought they're all hotel guests, right? No. We were so wrong. These were neighborhood guests, right? So we're like, well, why are they allowed to come in? Oh, guess for years, they've been allowed to come in. No one ever stopped them from coming in. So guess what? We came up with a bright idea, Steph and I, like, hey, we need to capitalize on this. We need to make money off of these people that are coming in. I mean, we have a bar there. They're not patronizing the bar. They're bringing their own food. They're bringing their ice chest. They're rolling things. They're bringing their own towels. They're bringing everything in, right? That's No hotel that I've ever worked in, and remind you, I've worked in 14. They all had pools. We never allowed outside guests to come in the pool because it's a huge liability issue. Okay. Especially you're not getting paid for it. Okay. And they're not patronizing your restaurant or your food and beverage outlets. Okay. So what we did was we got with, you know, the ownership and our management companies. The gates were open, right? They're allowing you to come through. And there was just there's probably five different points of entry that you can just come in and no one would even see you. You can park in a parking lot. Parking was free. You just come in there, get your lounge chair, and you're done and you're good for the day, right? Well, we stopped all that. So what we did was put gates around. So you had to have access to get in. So everyone had to go to the front desk. So once you go to the front desk, then you're saying, hey, where's the pool? Okay, are you a hotel guest? We were still allowing people to come in. But guess what? We charged a fee to get in, right? So I don't know if it was $10 or whatever, but people were paying this to get in. Now, just say we're getting the, you know, $1,000 a day that we weren't getting before. Right. I mean, we started doubling it because we started letting more people in and people started coming in because we upgraded our the food and beverage. You know, so we had, you know, burgers and fries for this. We were making that hotel was making so much money. It was ridiculous. But we didn't know that people were allowed to come in for free. So where does the hate email and the phone calls come in? OK, well, people were so used to getting this. They're like, well, who the heck is taking this away from us? This is our pool. They're treating it like it was a community pool, like it was at the Y or the high school. I'm going back to where I grew up. You know, the community pool was at Palo Verde High School, right? So everyone used, in the summer, used the community pool. That was the high school pool, right? So I'm just dating myself going back to Blythe, right? But they treated this like this was their community neighborhood pool. Well, we stopped that, and I was the head of stopping it, right? So guess who's getting all the hate email and the phone calls and the dirty looks, and I can't believe you would stop us from coming into this pool. I said, well, ma'am, you're not even a guest here. You want to stay in the hotel? You can come in. You can use the pool all day long. Well, no, we never. Well, why do you think we're going to allow you to continue this? Because we've been doing it for so long. This one lady, I remember, she had been using that pool for 15 years. 15 years every summer with her kids and never partake in any of our food and beverage, you know, specials or anything. She didn't buy anything. She didn't do anything. So we ended up slapping a $10 per person charge. So if you had three kids, guess what? That's $30 more. So it's $40 for you and your three kids. Okay. So we was charging up, not up the yin yang, but we were charging money that they weren't charging before. And like I said, the hate emails started coming in, phone calls, people in my face were like, I can't believe you're doing this. I mean, they're cussing me out. I'm like, really, people? I mean, you don't own the hotel. Okay. So, whoo, boy, that was a good one right there. So we made so much money during the summer. It's ridiculous. And then people are like, they think now we're geniuses, right? So we're making money that previous managers didn't make, right? Because we thought outside the box. So if you learn anything from this, think outside the box, right? So how do you, you know, you look at your services that you currently have and how can you make those better? Okay, that's what we did. Steph and I, we sat down and like, how can we make more money? And then this whole pool thing, because everything was around the pool. The whole hotel is themed around the pool. Now, if you know the history of the Sportsman's Lodge, it dates back to, I'm going to say old Hollywood, right? When John Wayne and Bing Crosby and all those people, you got to Google those people because some people don't even know who those actors are, right? But Google those people. And CBS Studios, which is still there, is on Ventura Boulevard, was called Republic Pictures back in the 50s and 60s. That's where they made all the Westerns. So that's why John Wayne and, like, you know, I'm saying Bing Crosby, but I'm not sure if he was a huge cowboy, but there was whoever played cowboys back in the day, Clint Eastwood, all them, right? They filmed all those cowboy pictures at Republic Pictures. So they would automatically come down to the hotel. So that's where this whole thing started with the pool, because I would have kids of these actors come in the hotel and say, oh my God, I learned to swim in that pool. I mean, if I had a dollar for every time I heard that story, we used to swim in that pool. And next door, which was the event center, they used to have a pond there where people would catch fish and you would take it to the chef and he would prepare it. You can't do that here in California now, right? The health department shut you down. You can't do that anymore. But back then you could. So people would learn how to fish, learn how to swim at Sportsman's Lodge. So that's some history of Sportsman's Lodge and how people were just so entrenched on getting, you know, this our pool. You know, they were all about the community, and that community, you know, included that pool that they never paid for. They brought their own towels. They brought their own soda and drinks and food. Well, we put a stop to that, and that's where the hate email came. So that was one experience. Now, the second one, 24 laptops. Okay. So I worked at the Courtyard Marina Del Rey, which is not the Courtyard Marina Del Rey anymore. So it's okay to tell a story, right? No, I would tell a story anyway. Anyway, so I was executive director. I was the operations director at the hotel. So that means I was under the GM. So I was second in command of the hotel, right? So we had this meeting that was taking place at the hotel for 24 people, right? And then the day before this meeting was supposed to start, they delivered 24 laptops, right? Brand new laptops coming in on a big crate, put them into the meeting room. And I remember the doors being locked because I made sure the back door, front door, everything was locked, right? Okay. So lady, the meeting planner was there, put the boxes in there, boom, done. Okay. So let's say that was 10 o'clock in the morning. About, let's say 2 o'clock, the lady comes back because she wants to get ready for the training, which is the next morning. But she has to program or put software on all the laptops. So that's what she's going to do. So she's going to put software. She has to upload or download all the software on these 24 laptops. We go back in there, unlock the door. Okay, because the door is locked. We go back in there. And guess what? The boxes are there, but they're light. They don't contain any laptops. Someone, an inside job at that hotel, to this day, I still don't know who did it, but I know it's an inside job. They stole all the laptops. They took every laptop out of the room, out of the boxes, and put the boxes back. They're stacked neatly, just where we put them, right? So the lady's like, what the heck is going on? And I'm like, what the heck is going on too? Because I have no idea. And like I said, it happened under my watch, right? So make a long story short, I'm running around like a chicken with my head cut. I'm trying to figure out who did this, you know, who was involved in this inside job. I had a suspicion of who did it, but of course, no one's going to admit. In those days, this was some years ago, there was no cameras, okay? There's no video surveillance that showed who came in that room and who left, who came down the hallway or anything like that. So we couldn't discover it or kind of figure out from there. But, of course, the meeting planners, you know, I mean, she's irate. She's ticked off. And she comes to me and says, hey, you know, I need you to pay for these laptops. I'm like, we can't pay for 24 laptops. So I said, ma'am, the best I can do, you know, every time something comes up missing, stolen, whatever, you do an incident report. So basically, it comes down to our insurance company and her insurance company or the company's insurance company. I mean, that's all we can do. We fill out a form, you know, 24 laptops, because what she had to end up doing, because she couldn't call the people because they were flying in, right? So I think most of the 24 people were flying in from another location. So it wasn't like she can cancel it. So what she had to do, I think there was a Best Buy or something in the same parking lot. She ended up going to buy 24 more laptops and setting those things up. And I mean, without even saying, I mean, you're talking about a tense situation, right? I mean, like I said, to this day, I still wake up in a cold sweat, like, who took those 24 laptops? I'm like, nothing has ever happened like that before in my life, in my career. And remember, I've been to 14 different hotels. So nothing like that had ever happened before. But that just tells you that, you know, people have agendas, right? People that you work for, people that are smiling at you, you know, and then stab you in the back, your employees or whatever. It happens, right? I mean, it doesn't happen all the time. That was, like I said, that's the first situation that had happened. But it was just one of those things where, you know, you, I had to maintain my cool. I had to maintain my professionalism because you can't go around accusing people. Like I said, I had an idea, but we didn't have video surveillance or anything like that. So I couldn't go around accusing anyone, but you had to make the best of the situation. So never let them see you sweat. Right. So I just basically rolled with the punches, let the GM know what was going on. He said, hey, all you can do, we will support. And this is basically, they're going to ask a lot of questions about, was the door locked? Yeah, the door was locked. I mean, I was there, so I know the door was locked. But I don't know who unlocked the back door and got in there. And I assume they went through the back door. I'm not sure. But yeah, so 24 laptops. Like I said, that was one that, whew, I still think about to this day. 10-year class reunions. You guys ever, you know, everyone's been to a 10-year class reunion, right? Why are they the most difficult ones, right? Is it because, you know, people, because they're still almost, they're still between high school and being a full-fledged adult? I don't know, but I've had the most issues with 10-year class reunions than anything. Now, I used to be a night manager, right, in Sacramento. So Friday and Saturday nights were big for 10-year class reunions. So there will always be a fight. You know, I didn't like that guy 10 years ago in high school. Now, you know, I think I can take him now. You know, that kind of stuff. Or this guy and this girl that, you know, they end up marrying different people, but they know they should have been together. You know, just things going on that are beyond, I can't even talk about on the show. And this will be in the book, right? But yeah, 10-year class reunions were no joke. There's always a fight. There's always someone that thought he deserved something he never got any recognition for. There's always somebody that thought he should have been with that girl, or that girl should have been with that guy. She was the prom queen, but I should have been. I mean, all this stuff comes out when you're a manager at night, right? They're telling you all these stories because it is always drinking involved with it, right? So you're going to get some confessions that you never wanted to hear, and you're always going to get the police called. Police were always on standby. The Sacramento County Sheriff were always on standby because someone was going to go to jail that night. So 10-year class. And the last one I'm going to talk about is better to ask for forgiveness than for permission. You ever heard of that before? And this is a real quick story, right? So this is back in the day at the Bonaventure. Everybody knows the Bonaventure. They call it, they know the Bonaventure so much, which is a hotel downtown LA. At that time when I was there, it was the largest hotel in LA County. It was 1,300 rooms, 100,000 square feet in meeting space, 110,000 square feet of meeting space. So this was before LA Live, the JW Marriott, the Ritz. It was before all that. The Staples Center was there, but when I was there, it was before they built LA Live. Excuse me. So it was a situation where I'm a sales manager. I'm a national sales manager, right? So we're going after this great piece of business. It was Vans National Convention, right? And my competition is the Renaissance Hollywood, which is now Lowe's Hollywood, right? So, but it was the Renaissance originally. So the Renaissance people, you know, they're kind of cool. You know, they kind of dress like this, right? They're dressed all in black. You know, they didn't wear, you know, traditional, you know, ties, and you know, which we did at the Bonaventure, right? So I knew what I was up against, right? So I got this, I don't know if it was he was a CFO. CFO is coming in and he's going to do a site inspection, right? So site inspections at the Bonaventure took like 2 hours to do, right? So what I did was before that day, I went and asked my director of sales and marketing. I won't mention his name, but I went and asked him, I said, hey, Mr. Director of Sales and Marketing, hey, I was thinking about dressing a little down tomorrow because I have this big site coming in and it's with Vans. You know, Vans, you know, the shoe, the, you know, the gear, skateboard, whatever. I was going to come dressed down. I wasn't going to wear any board shorts or anything like that, but I was going to have maybe a Vans t-shirt, you know, something theme oriented, right? Because of who was coming in, right? Well, my director of sales and marketing says, why would you do that? That doesn't mean anything. You just come dressed the regular way. And I looked at him like, okay. So I listened to him and I just came dressed the way I normally come dressed with my, you know, suit and tie and jacket and all that stuff. And I, you know, I gave the tour like I normally do. And the guy shows up. He's like 45 years old. He has board shorts on, Vans, you know, hat, He has a t-shirt. He has, you know, Vans shoes on, all that stuff. The only thing he didn't have was a skateboard. Okay. But I'm sure he had one in the car. But he comes in. He's real cool, real casual. You know, he's like, okay, yeah, I like this. Okay. Oh, yeah, we can do this. We can do that. You know, I'm selling, right? Okay. I'm still a good salesperson regardless how I'm dressed. Well, at least I thought, right? So his next stop was, guess what? Was the Renaissance. So it was between us and the Renaissance. Okay. He goes to the Renaissance, and the same thing that I said I would have done, I would have dressed down. They didn't have far to go to dress down because, like I said, they were already kind of business casual anyway, if you will, kind of hip business casual. So, but they went, took it a little step further. You know, they had Vans gear on. They did all this stuff, and it really resonated with this guy that showed up with the board shorts, the CFO, right? So I didn't know that till later. But, you know, maybe 3 days later, the guy calls me, and meaning the meeting planner calls me and says, hey, you know, I loved you. I love your presentation. We like the hotel, but the only thing, you guys were a little stiff. You guys were a little too corporate for us. We're not corporate. That's exactly what he said. He said, if you would have been, you know, dressed down a little bit, then we would have chosen your hotel. But I can just see that, you know, our people that come to our meeting are not, they're not corporate people. They may work for a corporation. Vans is a corporation, but he said, that's not what we're about. We're, you know, we're really laid back, really cool, this kind of stuff. And we don't wear suits and ties and all that. So we're choosing the Renaissance because they kind of, you know, kind of relaxed, and that's kind of, they fit into the same image that we're portraying. So I went back and told my director of sales, and he just had this, you know, goofy look on his face. And that's where it comes down to me saying, you know, next time I just would have done it. I should have done it. And just, you know, it's better to ask for forgiveness. So what would he would have done if I just showed up the way I, you know, planned it anyway? He probably wouldn't have said anything anyway. Or maybe I would have gotten in trouble. Maybe I would have got my hand slapped. I don't know. But it would have been worth it, right? So sometimes you got to go on instinct. You got to go on gut and just do it. And when you're doing presentations, you have to personalize the presentation for whoever, you know, you're meeting with. So that's one thing that I learned. That was years ago. It's one thing that I learned. Make sure, because I'm never going to lose another piece of business to anything like that again. And I always made sure when I had a sales team to let them know that too. So I'm all in. So if you need to dress down, you got a bunch of soccer moms coming in and doing a site inspection, you need to dress like the soccer moms. Whatever the heck that is, you need to dress like them. I don't have a problem with that. So just remember, it's okay to do things different. It's okay to think outside the box. So sometimes your director of sales marketing, they don't know crap, okay? And that's, and to me, that cost me that piece of business, okay? So, but anyway, that's just what I think. That's how I feel. And I just thought I would share that, okay? So those were guest experiences or client experiences, hotel experiences, volume 2. So thank you so much for joining On Air Russell Hotels. We're going to start off the new year great. I don't know if I have a guest lined up or not, but I need to have one, right? So we're going to see. We're going to try to get some guests in for the first show of the new year. So we're going to make that happen. So anyway, so thank you guys so much for joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. I hope I didn't ramble a lot. Well, I did because I had to tell a story, right? So it's okay to ramble when you're telling stories. So anyway, you guys take care. Have a good week. Happy Tuesday. Today's Taco Tuesday. So make something non-meat, okay? Do a plant-based taco today. Because that's what I'm going to do, right? So, and let me know how it turned out. You know, whatever that is, just make sure it's plant-based. Just, it's okay. One week out of a month, it's all right. So you guys take care. Thanks again. Peace.
For joining On Air with Russell of Hotels. Please tune in every Tuesday at 1 p.m. as we talk to other hospitality professionals. Your feedback is important. Email Russell at russell@russellofhotels.com with any questions or suggestions. Until next time, try not to be a person of success, rather become a person of value.